going to be Harmony of the Gospel. Well, for different teachers, actually. I got chosen tonight simply because Ted was working. And then he spake of being sick, so anyway, he didn't want to do it tonight either. So looks like you're stuck with me for a little bit, Heidi.
Ron, are we going to use these books here, or are you going to just do something else?
No, is that the McGarvey book?
No, but it's the one we used.
When Larry was here?
Larry.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm glad to see you. I probably got my copy around somewhere, but it's packed up and I wasn't able to find it. Lenny was nice to me. He sent me the link over there from McGarvey's book on the Harmony of the Gospels. And I looked at the introduction and kind of briefly looked at it and scrolled through it, but I really didn't have too much time to spend looking at it. So most of this stuff I just kind of inserted in by myself and some of the ideas that I came up with, and whether it'll be productive or not, that's up to you, but I hope it will. Might give us a little bit. Why should we study the Harmony of the Gospel?
I know there's people that feel like it's a bad thing to do, but it shows the same events that are recorded by different people in a lot of places, and I think that's good. It's not like every gospel is completely different and nothing agrees. It shows the agreement.
I think that's what we're here for, is to see that the gospel harmonizes. And it doesn't contradict one. Now, we have a lot of instances in the first four books that one person might write about, the other three doesn't. Or all four of them might write about something that's significant. Others might write two times. It's twice in the New Testament that records the lineage of Christ. And that's Matthew and Luke. But they approach it by different, sources, but Matthew speaks basically to the Jewish population, Jewish people, and writes it on the basis of genealogy of Joseph, which is the general way that genealogy was through the male. And so Matthew approaches it through Jesus' earthly father. Luke is the other way around. He approaches it from a personal view and refers to the lineage through Mary. And he's speaking generally to Gentiles. But we come up with the same thing. Matthew goes back as far as Abraham. Luke sends it all the way back to the beginning, to Adam, who was the Son of God. So he went right back to the very, very beginning. But they don't conflict one another.
Doesn't it also, by doing the lineage of Mary, since Joseph wasn't his biological father, it shows that he is linked to David, the seed of David through Mary. So either direction that you go, you can't say that he didn't come from the seed of David.
Yeah, and you remember that these are all Jewish people. And so they refer to Jesus. Well, isn't that the carpenter's son?
Yeah.
Isn't that Joseph's son? That's his father. Well, he was, as far as earthly basis was concerned, but we know that Joseph was kind enough to kind of put aside the accusations of Mary and the situation that she was in, because of divine intervention. But we're going to look briefly tonight about the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as we go through this study, I think we'll probably end up doing what Dean Anderson just mentioned to me. We'll just kind of hit the highlights of these four books. We'll take a look at the people who wrote them. We're assuming that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's some speculation about that. Well, I'll just assume that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written by those four people, divinely inspired, whoever the writer was. And so I'll just accept it at face value. We'll be looking at how they compare each other with each other and how they harmonize with each other and how they work together to establish the truth about Jesus and his life while he was here on earth. We'll spend some time on various happenings, see how they compare with one another. And some happenings, as we'll go along, find all four writers will talk about it. Other times, one writer will talk about it, a particular event. Sometimes two, sometimes three. But it varies. We'll find Mark is, I think, a total of 16 chapters. John is also a short book, but Matthew and Luke go into a lot more detail, and I think there's close to 30 chapters in each one of those books. So this will be an interesting study. Lenny and Ted and I'll be sharing class. I'm going to see if I can't get us to include Mr. Bob here and maybe get him to share his expertise as well and get him to... Yeah, well, I know you just found out about it. But anyway, Bob's knowledgeable, and so maybe we can get him to share his study and his knowledge with us. But we appreciate your comments and your suggestions and questions. And boy, if you have one, speak up. It helps along in the class, and maybe we can look at some various things that need to be discussed or questions that come up. Who knows? It'll be fun to find out. We need to understand, though, that these events that are recorded in these four books were written at different times. These events that were recorded, these books were written at different times. We need to understand that these books were written by four different people. And they each had their own view. Yeah.
When were the four written?
I'm sorry?
When were the four written?
When?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have any real clues as to exactly when. Some people put John later on. Some say that Mark was the earliest writings because Matthew and Luke both refer to something that Mark wrote, leaned on Mark's information pretty heavily at times. And so they have a suggestion that maybe Mark was the earliest writer. We don't really have any definite information.
I know this is written by man, excuse me for interrupting, but it says Matthew wrote the gospel before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I can believe this.
Yeah. No, that's really true. That's part of the research. Yeah, he makes a couple of comments that points to the destruction of the temple there in Jerusalem, destruction in AD 70. So, you know, whether what you can really, you probably can't, you can't pinpoint exactly when they were written, but they do give you subtle hints. And this is what scholars have picked up. And I have a little problem with saying scholars. These people were maybe educated to some degree, but it's a personal opinion as to what these people come up with.
Ron.
And, yeah.
We just, help me understand, we talk a lot about when books were written. Does it, I don't mean to be rude, does it really matter? Wouldn't God tell us when they were written if that was important?
Yeah, that, you're exactly right.
Okay, so I'm just trying to clarify as we go along.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll probably reiterate this later on because it's in my note. But we have to keep in mind always when we look at these things, different situations, different times and such, we have to understand overall that this was divinely inspired writing. And so it doesn't really make any difference when it was written. We could speculate. If I think you're right, if the Lord wanted us to know, he would have told us. But as we go down through this study, we'll see that how some of these writers came about their information. Let's take a look at these four different books. They were writing at different times. They could have been 50 years apart. They were writing at different times. They were writing from different locations. One might have been in Samaria, one might have been in Jerusalem, but they were writing from different areas of the earth. They were writing in different political situations. We know that there was always political turmoil down in the area around Jerusalem, Israel, and so that may have had an effect on some of the writers. They may have moved out of the area. Some of them might not have had quite the political pressure that others might. One might be writing about an actual occurrence that they witnessed. They were there with Jesus when that occurrence happened. Some weren't present at all. But they were writing from different sources that they had available to them. One might be standing on the right side of Jesus when he did something or said something. And so he had direct knowledge and he could write about it. Maybe there was another disciple over here that was on the other side of Jesus, maybe 5 feet away and looking at a different angle, and he saw something completely different. And so you have two people from different views saying the same thing, maybe in different words, or maybe not at all. Maybe this disciple wrote about it, but this one didn't at all. And so you have, there's so many different things you could think about on why these different writers wrote at different times about different parts of Jesus' life. How did these men, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, how'd they know about some of these things that they wrote about?
They were there. They had to have been there. You don't think so?
No.
In this one part in this book, it tells that an angel of the Lord came to John or to Luke.
One says the angel of the Lord came to him, and another one says the angel Gabriel. And
yes,
names,
yeah,
names
then
the
it does say Gabriel, yeah, down.
Yeah, that's very true. Somebody, yeah.
Well, as our minds, most of us have sieves for a mind and forget things and don't recall things, but the Holy Spirit guided all of these to write down the accounts in their own words. So the Holy Spirit, God, was in control of what was written.
So were they different Holy Spirits then?
No.
One Holy Spirit.
Well, read so Luke. Takes the form of Gabriel and other.
Gabriel was an archangel. He was an angel, wasn't the Holy Spirit. But he was an angel. And you'll see as you go through the Bible that angels were used quite a lot to deliver messages.
Sure.
And so forth. Remember Abraham and the three angels that came to him. They were on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
So were they different angels that came and visited Matthew when he wrote his versus Luke?
Very possible. We're not told that. But it's just like Luke said, an angel doesn't name the angel. He just says it was an angel.
Right.
One of the other writers calls him Gabriel. Now they have different sources of information. Who wants to read? Kirsten, would you read Luke 1, 1 through 4? Luke 1, 1 through 4.
Luke 1.
And I think that's going to clear up a little bit of, and give you some additional information what Luke says here.
Okay,
1
through 4?
Yeah, 1 through 4.
Inasmuch as many have undertaken to come home. Is that?
Yeah, you're right.
You're good. Okay. Start over. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things you have been taught.
And see where in Luke here, he's telling us that he had sources of information that he researched. So he had information that he didn't know that came to him from various sources. Now, do we know who these sources are?
No.
He doesn't speak. But you take a look at Luke, okay? He writes about Mary and Joseph, and Jesus getting out of Judea because of Herod, and they moved to Egypt. They came back. They were still afraid, so they went over to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus grew up. This was before Luke's time. So how did he get that information? So he had eyewitness sources. He could have been talking to Mary, Jesus' mother. I mean, when Jesus was 30, when he began his ministry, Mary was maybe what, 45, 48, 49, somewhere in her late 40s. They married young back in there, betrothed, they're about 15 years old, on up. So she was a young woman whenever Jesus was born. So add 30 years to her life, she would be in her mid-40s, maybe early 50s. So it's very possible that she could have been a direct source of information to Luke. Now, as far as Mary's husband Joseph, we don't know. He just kind of faded from history, and so we don't know anything more about him. I think that, when Jesus died, when he was in 33, Mary was there. She saw him and witnessed his crucifixion. And you remember she said, who was it she named, Jesus' name, I've forgotten.
John?
Was it John that said, your mother, this is your mother. Your mother, this is your son. And so he delegated his authority to that man to make sure that he took care of Mary. So apparently Joseph was gone. So sometime he just faded out of the picture. But, so, where Luke got his information, but he tells you right up front, I searched diligently for this information. I had sources of information. He referred to Mark's letter. He took some information from Mark. The same with Matthew. He took some information from Mark as well. They had different sources. They were writing at different times and they had different sources.
When you say they had different sources, what do you mean by that?
Well, different eyewitnesses.
Oh,
and they were, remember, they're writing at a later date. And so a lot of this information, they're writing just like they were there.
If God is telling them what to write, why is that so confusing?
Well, yeah, it does seem that, yeah.
Well, they were admired.
Normally, secondhand information, you're not a witness.
Right.
So he's validating that these people were witnesses and validating it with the Holy Spirit. So normally it would be hearsay. But he says it's validated by God, so you can believe in it. And you can believe in what you were told by other people. So.
Okay.
Yep.
This can be a little confusing if a person is not strong in the faith, because these witnesses are not the Holy Spirit. And if these Gospels were inspired by the Spirit, it had to be involved in the whole thing. Or he had to be involved in the whole thing.
We're guided by the Holy Spirit.
God is everywhere.
Yes.
Was present.
Absolutely. And even today, when we look at the Bible today, we can have confidence in the fact that that is correct. Have confidence in it, knowing that it's divinely inspired. Kirchner.
Okay, so if each one of them had an angel come to them and speak, so here's an interesting. So I've been reading the women of the Bible, and I just read about Mary and her cousin Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
And all that. So in Matthew, in the first one. In the first chapter, in 18, it gives just a brief account of Mary and the whole thing of how she came about being with Jesus. But in Luke, I was just reading, and it goes into full-on detail of meeting Elizabeth and having her and Zacharias not being having a baby and going on and on about Elizabeth being pregnant for 5 months and keeping it hidden. And then that at the same time, Mary then gets pregnant and it goes into her meeting with Elizabeth and then and all of that. So the angel that spoke to Matthew about that, maybe he didn't really have a lot of information and just said, look, this is how it went down. But with Luke, maybe the angel came. I mean, I don't know. Why is there more? Why does Luke
because
have more information
well,
about?
There's different eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses have more information.
If
had a good eyewitness to Matthew, but they certainly had one to Luke.
And what I'm saying is, we are looking at four different people at different times that are writing information. It wouldn't be redundant if you had two guys writing about the same thing in the same way.
Sure.
Now, if you look at Matthew, he starts out with the lineage of Christ.
Yes.
Luke doesn't get that there until the third chapter of Luke. He starts out with the birth of John the Baptist. And then he comes through and he's... And then in chapter 3, he gives the lineage of Christ through Mary. Took him a little while to get there to that lineage and, you know, be the same. But he started out, it was like Mark. Mark started out with John the Baptist. See? And so he didn't get started, and he doesn't mention anything at all about the lineage of Christ or his childhood.
I was going to say that because the Holy Spirit is guiding this, it's not just the writer, it's the audience. So the audience is a different, it might be a Jewish audience, it might be a Gentile audience, it might be in a particular city where their God is, where their God's like the one of them said something about the gates of hell. That was Jesus, and it was had something to do with the fact that in that particular city, that's what the where they worship, the pagans worship. So each thing is different along that line.
Yeah, and I say Matthew starts out, you know, speaking primarily to the Jewish population, and that's why he did the lineage of Christ through Joseph, because Joseph, of course, was a Jew, and that's how the lineage, acceptable lineage, is followed through the male. Where Luke used it to the lineage of Mary. Yes, no.
So Matthew, Mark, and John are all apostles, weren't they?
Yes.
It's interesting that Luke was not. Yet, particularly in the beginning, he went into much more detail in things. And I love that story of Elizabeth and Mary. To me, I call that the Christmas story. Because it's so complete. You know, but at least a question that no preacher's been able to answer for me, that Elizabeth and Mary were from different tribes, but they were related. And I don't understand
cousins.
That.
They were cousins, yeah.
They were cousins.
Yeah, they were cousins.
Yeah.
And
I can never get an explanation for that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's the story of Jesus through the eyes of Mary and Elizabeth, I think it's kind of a hybrid story. Luke got into it starting out with Jesus, and then got into Elizabeth and who was John the Baptist's mother. And then he inserts Mary in there while she's pregnant. Elizabeth's about 6 months along before Jesus was, you know, and John was born 6 months or so ahead of Jesus. They were cousins. Mary was anxious. She ran up the hillside to visit her cousin, and it tells that Luke said that, well, you know, as soon as she walked in the door, John the Baptist, the baby leaped in her womb.
Isn't this the only one that gives any background on John?
Oh, no, I think all of them do.
I didn't remember anybody else telling where he came from.
Oh, no, I think that's the only one. Yeah. All of them speak of John the Baptist and his work.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just right at Jesus's, before Jesus' ministry. And we remember, of course, he had trouble with the governor and his wife, and it cost him his head. Yeah.
Well, I was reading, and it said that when Joseph and Mary came back from Egypt and he went back to Nazareth, that he resumed his trade in carpentry. And it made me think that when he was in Egypt, did he do carpentry, or did he have enough money from the gifts to Jesus that he lived, that they lived on that, and that he, that's why Jesus had so much teaching, was because Joseph spent much of his time teaching Jesus and at the synagogue and whatever. So I just thought, you know, Joseph doesn't really get enough credit for how he helped Jesus, I think.
He taught him trade.
Well, I think if you gave more you know, it looked to me like he gave more information about Joseph instead of just fading him out of the picture, that you would put more attention to him than Mary, whereas where the real attention should be. And so it might distract from what we see as far as Mary's concerned. I don't know. But back in those days, it was not uncommon to betroth people and have arranged marriages. Mary, May 15, 16, 17, may have married Joseph, who was quite an elderly man as far as age difference was concerned. So he may have been in his 40s. Who knows? Doesn't tell us. But that was a common occurrence, to do something like that. So if that were the case, if he was in his 40s, by the time Jesus started his ministry, he would have been in his 70s. And that was old age back in those days.
So, I just think that Jewish law tells the fathers that they're raised to teach their sons. And I think that in why he was in Egypt, I think he did just that. What he was supposed to. And I think he just doesn't get that kind of credit because it doesn't really talk about it. But Jesus was learned, and that information just didn't happen to him by osmosis.
Well, you remember the story where he was 12 years old and they went to pay their taxes in Jerusalem. And when Mary and Joseph left town, they couldn't find him for 3 days. And he was in the synagogue.
Teaching
the professionals, yeah. So, of course, when you say Jesus was learning, that's kind of shallow, but I agree with you, yeah. But.
Well, Jesus was the Son of God, and he was God. So wouldn't he have already had that information?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. Absolutely.
His father didn't have to teach him anything but carpentry and how to live in the world.
Well, and that very well might have been. I don't think he had to live teaching. If he knew everything already, he probably knew how to do carpentry as well, automatically. He was raised as a physical individual, yeah.
Scripture tells us he had to learn obedience. He had to learn how to live as a man. Which, that I agree with you, that it doesn't seem like that would be necessary because God knows all things.
Sure.
But he had to live and suffer as a man. So.
And I think we have to, I think it was designed for us to understand that, to look at that and understand it, yeah.
Otherwise, we could say, he got special help that we don't get.
Yeah. That's true, we have hard labor.
Two different personalities.
Yeah. Well, we have to remember that the ministry of Jesus was only 3 years, 3.5 years maybe, before he was taken. So, hang on just a second. I think that Luke refers to, in his writings, cursing. Luke 1-4. little joke. he referred to manuscripts. He called them writings, but he referred to manuscripts. Very possibly written by eyewitnesses. People jotted down. There were early disciples back in those days. And you remember that there were disciples of John, and John's preaching about the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus, shortly after he was baptized by John, he started his ministry. And he was there for 3.5 years. So it wasn't a very long time that Jesus was on physically on this earth preaching his and doing his work here while he was on earth. So there was a number of sources that could be friends of Mary, maybe, if she wasn't even around anymore. And I believe that she was. Where do we know of Mary?
She was at the cross.
Yeah, she was at the cross. Where else do we know that she was? Remember?
She was there at the rock when he was missing.
Different Mary.
Different
Mary. Oh,
yeah. Mary Magdalene. Right. Yeah. But Mary was also, remember that she got him to change wine to water, or water to wine. That was the first miracle recorded that we know of and spoken of. So she was there.
It's interesting that Bob talks about Jesus had to learn obedience. And he tells his mother, he says, it's not my time yet. But because he learned obedience, he did what his mother asked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, other than going astray for a few days, he was a perfect Jewish obedient child. He respected his mother and his father.
When he was 12.
Bob, do you have a comment? Anybody else have any comments?
Phil said he went astray. Well, he didn't go, just because he was in the temple teaching didn't mean he, to me, going astray means you did something bad.
He did something. He did something that his parents thought was not a good thing to do.
Well, but he was doing God's
work. Well, yeah, and he told me, if you remember the story, he told me, while I'm going about my father's work, they didn't understand what he was talking about. They didn't understand. All they understood was they spent a whole day going back to Jerusalem. They were a day's journey away. When they, end of the day, they found out he was around.
That's true. But I just didn't think Jesus went astray.
That's not a good choice of words.
I'm sorry, Bill.
But anyway, yeah, he just ended up and. And I don't know what he did for 3 days. He must have been having to rest somewhere, and then he went back to the synagogue the next morning. But took him 4 days to get him to leave town. So that's all I got for the evening.
And his mother kept all those things in her heart.
Oh yeah.
She didn't question anything that her son said.
And eventually it all came together.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, and so we'll be looking at these various things that come up, why this writer didn't write this and this one did, or why all four of them did. And I think when Larry was here and Dean made it, it was a year and a half study. And I told him, we're not going to get into that right now. But we will be hitting the highlights. And the things that we can see, but we need to understand where the sources came from, who, about the writers, and why they're writing. But we always have to understand that it was by inspired writing, and so we can depend on what we read today, just like they did 2,000 years, and a lot of this stuff, we remember a lot of this, this is the New Testament scripture that's being written at the time. This is not like us looking back and we can take a book and look at it and read it. They were in the midst of writing this. And as we go down through the New Testament, we can see that, these writings came, some of them, John, they were thinking about John being writing the book of Revelation somewhere in 90, year 90. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he was, yeah, do that. Google it.
Check your brain.
No, I was going to look, because I know that I do read those introductions, but I know they were written by men, so that's why I asked you if you thought that was, I mean, because I don't think this part of it is inspired by God.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it says. It says, as for the date of its writing, clearly, Revelation emerged during a time when Christians were suffering persecution. The dates most widely suggested are an early one before AD 70 and a later one around AD 95. But we don't know for sure.
Yes. Well, it's like all of them. You don't know exactly when. You can guess, and you can get pretty accurate at times. You know within a year or two of when Paul wrote a lot of his books. Because of where he was. Well, we know he was in prison in Rome. He wrote some of it, and we know who did him in. That was during the reign of Nero.
And secular-wise,
we, and historically-wise, we can pinpoint that pretty close. And because of where Paul was writing, that means that we can understand where other people were at the time, like Timothy. Okay, and so we know when Paul was writing, he was writing from Macedonia, but he may have, some of his writings he wrote from prison in Rome. So, but as far as these four books are concerned, we know that they were written at different times during the first century. We know they were written by four different people. We know that they used records and manuscripts and sources. They don't name the sources other than the fact that Luke says he used a lot of sources and he checked them out to make sure that they were accurate and he did a lot of research. So it stands to reason for me that the other three did the same thing because they didn't have direct knowledge of a lot of the stuff that they wrote. But again, divinely inspired writing. So it'd be kind of an interesting study. Ted said he'd watch this video for tonight and he'll be studying next week and we'll start out with first part of the actual study. This was just kind of an introductory type thing to kind of give you a background. So if you've got any questions, write them down. Try to answer them next week. Anybody else have any comments? Bill?
Question. Weren't two of the gospel writers original fishermen that Jesus chose? These were not learned men. They must have gotten
the only one that was considered really learned with education was Luke.
Well, the Jews considered them ignorant and unlearned.
Yeah.
They considered Jesus ignorant and unlearned because of where he came from.
Yeah.
So
probably, he's a carpenter.
Don't let somebody's preconception be the rule of the person.
Peter, Andrew, James, and John, I think, were the first four that Jesus went on the Sea of Galilee and told him to come on. I think he found John under a tree, if I remember. Was it John that he found under the tree and he said, "Oh, I know what you're thinking"?
Well, that's the one that...
I just pulled that out of the air. But
the one that was,
can't remember.
The one, they were all supposed to be dishonest people.
Oh, the Matthew, the tax collector, yes.
Yeah, Matthew was a tax collector.
That was the one under the screen I'm thinking of. That was some or other in whom there is no guile.
That'll be your assignment for next week. That'll be your assignment for next week.
Oh, you don't remember who it was either.
Well, they were simple people, but if you remember all the educated people that Jesus confronted were all Pharisees and stuck on themselves. So what Jesus went to the poor people. And that's the people that he talked about and was related, that he could relate to.
So the Pharisees,
they were basically hypocrites. They had the law that they had, and none of them could follow it. So,
some of Jesus' closest associates were the bottom level of social status.
Yeah.
God will accept anybody if they're a sincere believer.
Okay. Exactly true. And Jesus talked to a lot of people that nobody else would have talked to.
Yeah.
Prostitute.
And he didn't just talk to them.
He talked to
them. They're his close associates.
Yeah. Talked to the Samaritan lady at the well, if you remember. Boy, the Jews wouldn't touch that 10-foot pole.
You have to remember also that these young Jewish boys all went to synagogue class. To be bar mitzvah, they learned the scriptures. They weren't totally ignorant. They learned the scripture, so they may not have been well learned in other things, but they were schooled in that.
Sometimes I look at it and I think, if you have a history of 1,500 years study. 1,500 years of law, and all of a sudden somebody comes along and said, "He's Jesus, and I have a new law." That'd be a little hard for Jewish people to swallow.
That'd be hard for us to accept.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they had 1,500 years of history, and that they depended on. And all of a sudden somebody's coming around. Well, what these writers did, they referred to the Old Testament, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they referred to the Old Testament about the John the Baptist, which we read about in the four. I hate to do it. I don't know, just a personal quirk of mine, I guess. I hate to say gospels. There's only one gospel. And I hear people referring to the four gospels. And that just is kind of a quirk for me. That just leaves me uncomfortable. And I never have liked that phrase, gospels, plural. And just personal thing with me. So, but you hear that all the time. But some of them refer to John the Baptist and refer to prophecies back in the Old Testament. Other ones use prophecies about Jesus. And they're saying this is the Messiah. This is he. And it was a difficult thing for those people. I'm sure they knew the scriptures. They knew about the Messiah. What were they looking for? They were looking for somebody to defeat the Romans and establish a capital in Jerusalem. They were looking for the earthly kingdom. But anyway, that's kind of an introduction that we can look forward to. This would be a good class, I think.